All right, everyone, get ready, because today we are going way back to the Digital Stone Age.
Yeah, back to the time of dial-up and floppy disks.
We are diving deep into the surprisingly complex world of Minesweeper.
That's right, we're going beyond those little gray squares.
Uncovering a story of early gaming ingenuity.
Unexpected cultural impact.
And even a bit of Bill Gates sneaking around the Microsoft office.
Always love that story.
Oh, this is more my speed intrigue in the time of dial-up. So
yeah.
We're talking about the game that came pre-installed on practically every computer in the 90s.
Right.
Right? Like, what kind of deep history are we even talking about here?
You might be surprised to learn that Minesweeper's roots actually go back even further.
Oh, really?
To the 1970s.
Wow.
Back then, you had games like Depth Charge, which was a text-based game where you used logic and deduction to hunt down hidden submarines.
Wait, so instead of clicking on squares, you were typing in coordinates?
Exactly.
Sounds like Minesweeper's way less glamorous ancestor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to see how the core gameplay loops.
Okay.
Using limited information to uncover hidden threats has been reinterpreted over the decades.
Right.
But it wasn't until 1983, with a game called Mind Out for the ZX Spectrum, that we start to see the grid-based format emerge.
So this is where those squares and flags start to come into play. Was Mind Out basically just Minesweeper with a different name?
Close. It had many of the core elements hidden explosives.
Yeah.
Numbers revealing adjacent threats, but with a quirky twist.
Like what?
Instead of just clearing a minefield, you were on a mission to rescue a Hollywood film star.
What?
Who also happened to be a worm.
You're kidding. A film star worm.
Yeah.
Someone had a wild imagination back then. Okay, I have to ask, what kind of movies does a worm even star in?
I'm afraid that detail has been lost to the sands of gaming history.
Too bad.
But it highlights something interesting about these early versions of Minesweeper.
Okay.
They weren't afraid to have a little fun with the concept.
Yeah, I like it. So how did we go from rescuing glamorous worms to the Minesweeper we know and, well, maybe vaguely remember how to play?
Right. So the missing link, if you will, is a game called Relentless Logic.
Okay.
Released for MS-DOS in the mid-80s.
Okay.
This is where we see the addition of diagonal adjacency.
So that's new.
Adding a whole new layer of complexity to the puzzles. Plus, it embraced a more patriotic theme. You were a brave Marine tasked with.
Let me guess.
You guessed it.
Saving America.
Saving America from hidden mines.
From rescuing worms to saving the free world one carefully considered click at a time.
That's right.
These early developers were really onto something.
They were onto something.
It sounds like these games were more than just simple distractions. They required some serious brain power. Was that part of their appeal, you think?
Absolutely. And this is where we start to see those early seeds of Minesweeper's addictive quality.
Hmm.
There's a certain satisfaction that comes with unraveling those logical puzzles.
Right.
That aha moment when you finally clear a section.
I know exactly what you mean.
And Relentless Logic really honed in on that. But the real question is, how did this relatively niche genre, born in the land of floppy disks and dial-up modems, become a global phenomenon?
That's where things get really interesting.
Yes.
Because enter Microsoft. Okay, Microsoft.
Yeah.
The name synonymous with spreadsheets, business software, and global gaming phenomenon. I mean, that's quite a leap. What were they thinking?
It's almost hard to imagine now.
Yeah.
But in the early 90s, Microsoft was laser focused on their image as a serious tech giant.
Okay.
They were hesitant to even dip a toe into the world of gaming.
Really? You'd think they would be all over something, universally appealing as a good game.
You think?
Yeah. So how did Minesweeper end up breaking through that corporate wall?
It happened with the Windows Entertainment Pack in 1990.
Okay.
Essentially, they bundled together a collection of games. Rather radical move for the company back then.
I bet. It sounds like something that would be discussed in hushed tones in the boardroom.
Oh, absolutely.
Did they think a few simple games would, destroy their reputation?
You're not far off. There were serious concerns that including games with Windows would make them look frivolous.
What?
Unprofessional.
Wow.
They even went to great lengths to downplay the entertainment pack.
Really?
Almost treating it like a secret project.
I've never heard of a tech company being embarrassed about making something fun.
I know.
What did they do? Like bury the entertainment pack in a secret folder on the hard drive?
They did something even funnier.
What?
They practically sabotaged their own support line.
Oh, no.
There's a story about how Microsoft made a deal to only answer questions about the entertainment pack.
Yeah.
If every single other support line was busy.
You're kidding
me. It was like they were hoping no one would even notice these games existed.
That's brilliant. So they really thought no one would be calling about Minesweeper.
Exactly.
Talk about underestimating the power of a good puzzle. But as we know,
right.
The entertainment pack and Minesweeper became a runaway success.
Huge.
Did they ever fess up to their apprehension?
It's hard to deny the impact of something when your own CEO is secretly hooked.
Wait, are we talking about Bill Gates?
The one and only?
Bill Gates was addicted to Minesweeper.
Apparently, he got completely sucked into Minesweeper.
Yeah.
Became obsessed with getting the fastest times. Oh. It got so bad, he actually had to delete it from his computer.
You've got tea to be kidding. The productivity guru.
I know.
Addicted to Minesweeper?
I know.
What did he do with himself?
Well, he couldn't stay away.
No, of course not.
Legend has it that he'd sneak onto other executives' computers just to play.
He didn't.
Even resorting to spending an evening in the president of Microsoft's office.
What?
Just for a chance to beat the high score.
Okay, now that's a story for the tech history books. It sounds like Gates' competitive spirit was just ignited by those little gray squares.
Oh, boy.
It's ironic, isn't it?
It is.
The game they were worried would tank productivity.
I know, right?
Became the CEO's guilty pleasure.
It's almost too perfect.
Right.
But Gates' experience was a microcosm of what was happening on a larger scale.
Okay.
Minesweeper.
Yeah.
Despite those initial fears,
right.
Was a gateway drug into the world of PC gaming for a whole generation.
That's a good way to put it.
It made Microsoft realize that games could be a powerful tool for engagement.
Wow.
Even if it wasn't their core focus at the time.
Talk about a happy accident. So Minesweeper helped Microsoft embrace their fun side.
Right.
Paved the way for the gaming giant they are today.
Yeah.
But I have to imagine not everyone was thrilled about this little game suddenly showing up on everyone's computer.
Oh, no.
Was there a backlash?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
In fact, this is where we get into the fascinating intersection of Minesweeper and the productivity paradox of the 90s.
Oh, here we go. Minesweeper and the productivity paradox sounds pretty official.
Yeah, it sounds like a very serious research paper, right?
Yeah.
That was a very real phenomenon.
So you're saying people were seriously freaking out.
People were freaking out.
About a simple game.
Oh, yeah. Think about it. This was the early 90s.
Okay.
The internet was still in its infancy.
Right.
Distractions at work were limited.
Yeah.
And suddenly along comes this incredibly addictive puzzle game.
Oh.
Pre-installed on practically every computer.
On every computer.
It was a recipe for a productivity meltdown.
Oh, I bet the water cooler talk in offices around the world.
Well, I'm sure.
Was dominated by Minesweeper high scores.
Absolutely.
But were people really getting fired for playing too much?
Maybe not fired, but
right.
It definitely caused some hand-wringing.
Really?
There were articles and think pieces about Minesweeper addiction.
No way.
Politicians were even getting in on the act.
Get out.
Some tried to ban it from government computers.
You're kidding.
Can you imagine?
Seriously.
Banning Minesweepers.
I know.
That seems a little extreme.
It does.
What were they so afraid of?
They were worried about lost productivity.
Okay.
Wasted taxpayer dollars.
Okay.
One senator even called it a menace to the Republic.
A menace to the Republic.
Yeah.
Someone needs to adjust their threat assessment scale.
Right.
Did these bans actually go anywhere?
Thankfully, most of them fizzled out.
Okay.
It's pretty hard to ban something
that's
already on every computer.
That's very true.
But it really highlights the anxieties people had around technology and productivity back then.
Right.
And, we still grapple with those issues today.
We do. It's true.
Just with more sophisticated distractions. Yeah, exactly. We've just upgraded our distractions. But you know what's even more fascinating to me than the productivity debate?
What's that?
The fact that there's a whole competitive Minesweeper scene.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
It's a real thing.
This is news to me.
And it's more intense than you might think.
Wait, so people take Minesweeper that seriously?
Oh, yeah.
They have tournaments and rankings and everything.
They have it all.
Wow.
Dedicated websites, online leaderboards, even real-life championships.
No way.
Pretty impressive.
You're blowing my mind here. I had no idea.
I know.
So what does it take to be a Minesweeper master? Is it just about clicking squares really fast?
Speed is a big part of it, obviously.
Sure.
But there's also a lot of strategy involved.
Really?
Pattern recognition, probability analysis, even a bit of luck.
Hmm. It's like poker with pixels.
That's a great way to put it.
Right.
And just like poker, competitive Minesweeper has had its fair share of controversy.
Oh, do tell.
It all centers around something called the Dream Board.
The Dream Board. Okay.
Essentially, it was discovered that the original Minesweeper had a flaw.
A flaw.
In how it generated random boards.
What kind of flaw?
Certain easier layouts would repeat in a predictable cycle.
Hold on. So you're telling me that players could memorize these easier boards?
Yes.
And then just like wait for them to come up in competition.
Exactly. And that's exactly what some players started doing.
Oh, no.
It caused a huge rift in the community.
I bet. That sounds like a recipe for some serious trash talk.
Oh, yeah.
Was it considered cheating?
That was the million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. And it sparked the debate that raged for years.
I bet.
Some players argued that it was a legitimate strategy.
Okay.
Exploiting a known quirk of the game.
Right.
Others saw it as a form of cheating.
Yeah.
A way to bypass the need for true skill.
That's fascinating. So what happened? Did they end up banning the Dream Board's strategy?
They tried.
Okay.
But it was almost impossible to enforce.
Yeah. How do you prove that someone has memorized a specific board layout?
Exactly.
It's not like they're carrying like cheat sheets to the Minesweeper arena.
Right. So eventually the community came up with a more elegant solution.
Let me guess, they created a new version of Minesweeper.
Exactly.
Called it a day on the old worm.
Newer versions were designed with more robust random board generation, making it virtually impossible to predict or memorize layouts.
Problem solved. So what about the original Minesweeper? Is it still out there?
Of course. You can still find it online and on older computers.
Right.
But it's no longer the pre-installed Titan it once was.
Right.
Even Microsoft tried to revitalize it.
They did.
With a new adventure mode.
What?
Complete with monsters and treasure.
Only Microsoft could make Minesweeper adventurous.
I know, right?
But let's be honest, for a lot of us, it will always be that simple, addictive game that came with our first PC.
It's a fascinating example.
It really is.
Of how even the simplest games can have an outsized cultural impact.
It makes you wonder, like, what seemingly mundane pieces of technology today might have a similar legacy in the years to come. What's lurking in our downloads folder right now that could be the next Minesweeper?
That's a question worth pondering.
Indeed, it is. Well, thanks for joining me on this deep dive. It's been a real eye-opener.
My pleasure. I always enjoy a good trip down memory lane.
Until next time, keep clicking those squares and watch out for those mines.